God has chosen to magnify His Word above all His name. I ask you to turn to 2 John, 13 verses of Scripture. I'd like to preach through these 13 verses this morning, a message entitled, A Full Reward, A Full Reward. I don't believe in church life that I've been in church that I've ever heard a message from 2 John since I've been in ministry. I went to a pastor's fellowship, and I believe it was Ken Cloud who was preaching, and he preached from one verse, the actual key verse, I believe, to this entire book, and we're going to look at that this morning. But this is an oft-neglected book, but I think a vital book, especially in light of our preaching through 1 John. Out of respect for the Word of God, let's all stand for the reading, please. And I want us to read responsively. I'll read the first verse, you join me on the second. I read the third, you join me on the fourth, and we'll work through these 13 verses. 2 John, verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do pray that as we pull some nuggets out of these 13 verses, you'd speak to our hearts. Honor the preaching of thy word. And Lord, we've got the promise that it will not return unto you void. It will accomplish the thing that you sent it to accomplish. And we pray that it would do that today in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I do trust you brought your Bibles with you and that you won't be ashamed to write in the margin or underline some verses or make some notations because I believe that this is a vital, vital book. We just got through from our study and preaching through many weeks through the five chapters of 1 John, and John has really laid out some great truths for us that really are exciting. In chapter 1 of 1 John, we saw how that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And my, what a glorious verse of Scripture that is, in truth, for each and every one of us. As we walk in this world, as we struggle with life, as we have some sins that we're dealing with in our lives and we're trying to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, the good I want to do, I don't do. The bad I don't want to do, that I do. And so we find ourselves in that same predicament as believers. And it's great to have that verse of Scripture that when it seems like heaven's made out of brass due to our sin, and it seems like fellowship is broken, that we can have that fellowship restored, amen? That we can become in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ again. We also saw in 1 John that we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, to know that every moment of every day we have Jesus Christ with us. I mean, He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. That's not just something to memorize. That's not just something to have right here in our minds. It's not just a passage of Scripture to turn to in Hebrews chapter 13 and cling to. I mean, this is a present reality. If you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, Jesus Christ is with you. When you face the midnight hours, Jesus Christ is with you. When you go to work tomorrow morning, Jesus Christ is with you. When you go home today, Jesus Christ is with you. I mean, what a powerful truth for us. And then you go all the way through to chapter 4 and chapter 5 of 1 John, and you find out that we are overcomers. I mean, we have overcome the world. In other words, as a believer in Jesus Christ, walking this world, you don't work for victory, you work from a position of victory. You are already victorious in Jesus Christ. And not only that, in chapter 5, we have the assurance of our salvation. Amen? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And then we find we come to 2 John and 3 John, and this is where it gets intensely practical, and this is the kind of a book that I like. These next two books are just meat and potatoes for me because I'm sort of geared to the practical. I mean, whenever I hear somebody teach, I don't want to just hear facts. I don't want to just have all these things presented to me. I want to know how I can take what he's telling me and put it in everyday shoe leather. And so when I look at some of these basic Bible truths, I want to know not only how they affect me myself, but how I can live them out, how I can flesh them out. And that's really what the Word of God is all about, to be conformed into the image of Christ. As He walked, so I ought to walk, so every believer ought to walk. And we get to 2 John and we get to 3 John, and we find that the truths presented in 1 John are now being put to the test and having everyday application here in the lives of these individuals. This is a great book. If you're looking and you don't mind marking in your Bible, if you go to verse 8, I believe that this is the key verse to this entire book. Look to yourselves. Remember, he's writing to believers. He's writing specifically. Some folks say there's two schools of thought here, and I've checked sources all the way back to the 1200s. And so when I check these sources, it seemed like all the way through there's been two schools of thought. And yet, no matter what position you hold to, the doctrine or the teaching, the emphasis of this book is not lost in one single bit. Let's look at the first or the key verse. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I don't know about you, but as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to receive a full reward. I don't want just a third. I don't want just a half. I want to receive a full reward. You know, when you go out to eat at a restaurant and they tell you that you're going to get a salad, that you're going to have steak, that you're going to have potatoes, that you're going to have vegetables, that you get a drink and you get a dessert to boot, I mean, when they miss that salad, you're a little bit upset. I mean, you want to make sure that you're getting the biggest bang for your buck. Amen? You want to make sure that you're getting the full meal deal. I mean, if I were to go up here to McDonald's restaurant and order number 3, a McChicken combo, amen? And if I order that Coke, and that is a Coke, it's not a Pepsi, Terry, okay? And if I order that Coke, if they short me on the fries, you know what I do? If there's no one behind me, I pop it back into reverse and I back up that window. You forgot my fries. Well, I've ordered a full meal deal. I want the full thing. Amen? And here John is saying, look, dear Christian, look to yourselves, be careful. You want to receive a full reward before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so that, I believe, is also the key thought as we think of the truths mentioned in 1 John, as we look at 2 John, and we put it in the everyday shoe leather. I think it's important to realize, hey, we are to live the truths that we hear preached. We are to live the truths that we read about in this book. It's not just so we can fill our minds with things. It's not so that we can sing songs about them. I mean, the Word of God ought to be brought into our lives and it ought to be fleshed out. We ought to live it. Just as Jesus is the Word and we're to live by that Word. Amen? Are you with me this morning? Amen. Now, as I was talking about, I want you to see this. The reason some people say it's to a local church is verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. Now, some people say because the phraseology of this book is never used anywhere else in the Bible, especially the New Testament, they say that this is probably more to an individual than a church. But you also have to recognize this. John used very tender language. And we call each other brothers and sisters in Christ today. We talk about sister churches. We look at Heritage Baptist. We look at Carmen Community Baptist. We say there's a sister church. So you can understand where, even since it seems like the beginning of preaching here after the first century and these books came into knowledge, we find that people thought, well, it's written to a church. Others felt like it was written to an individual. If you want to hold to the position of an individual, I think that's a plausible explanation of these 13 verses as well. Because again, look at verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Then look down to verse 5. Verse 5 mentions, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Drop down to verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring him not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. And so they take the correlation that, hey, it's talking about an individual lady and her children. And of course, back in those days, Christians were given to hospitality. They would invite people into their homes. But also those who hold to the local church position would also say that, hey, many times the church met in local homes. So you see that as a proof text. Then drop down to verse 13. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. And so we find here that some are saying, hey, it's written to a local church, some to an individual. But if you want to hold to the individual position, I like the tenderness of this passage. You see, because the Lord said in Psalms, and He says elsewhere, that He will be a father to the fatherless. And He will intercede for the widow, the poor. He will take care of them. Amen? And so we find here that John the Beloved is writing to a lady and her children and giving some instruction on how to apply the truths already mentioned in 1 John. This is a powerful, powerful little book. And I think we need to pay attention to it. There are essentially three key words to this book. If you go back to verse 1, you find that the truth is mentioned. The truth. Now folks, truth in light of the Scripture is not what we call subjective, it is objective. In other words, truth is based upon fact, it's not based upon feeling. Amen? And so that's where you and I, that's why I believe that John, because he's talking so much about love and tenderness, we think of love being more of a sentimental kind of a feeling base, but yet that's not Bible love. A Bible love is a God love, a sacrificing love, and it's not just one on feeling. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in John chapter 3, we have that the wrath of God abides on the ungodly. God hates sin. And here we are committing sin after sin after sin. Our very nature is sin. And God sent His Son Jesus to die for us anyway. Anyway. It wasn't that we were good. In me, there dwelleth no good thing. I'm a worm, a wretched man that I am. I mean, my, how many times the man is put down, the Lord is lifted up. God loved us, amen? But it was a sacrifice, not because we were lovely, not because He felt that way. He loved us. He did not what was best for Him. He did that which was best for us. That's true love. You see, so many times we have a perverted love today. We love, and it's always got a little string attached. We love conditionally. He loves unconditionally. Amen? But we find here that it's based upon that which is true. And in John 17, the Lord's Prayer that we read at the beginning, Jesus said in His prayer to the Father, my, what a message for us as believers. As Jesus prayed to the Father, we need to pray. Amen? But He prayed to the Father. He said, Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is truth. And we find the key word mentioned here in verse 1. It says, whom I love in the truth, in the middle part there, if you want to just underline truth. It says, not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwell in us and shall be with us forever. Look at verse 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. And then if you look at verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Walking in truth. Notice how that emphasis right there sets the tone for this book. This book is not talking about sentimentality. It's not talking about compromise. And that's really how many Christians try to live out their faith today. They think that they're going to be loving and caring and kind and just ooey-gooey, that they're going to have to compromise the truth. And John's saying, don't you think that way. And he was the beloved apostle. He's the one that lay on Jesus' breast. He was the one that went a little further. There were the other disciples that followed the Lord Jesus, but there were three. There's James and John and Peter, right? And so here we find John, the beloved disciple. He's writing on love, emphasizing love, and then he's saying, now since I've given you these truths, since I've told you these principles, now you've got to make sure and apply them properly. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Amen? I want to know how I take this thing called love that I can't really find illustrated in a proper way in this world and find out how I can live out and be pleasing in the sight of God. And He's got it right here for us. Amen? And it's not based on feeling. It's not based upon this preacher or that preacher or this denomination or that denomination. I can go right to the truth, the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? We're talking about the blessed Word of God that will give us guidance for every moment of every day in every type of situation, whether it's the ideal or not the ideal. Amen? This book is sufficient for all of our needs. We find that first key word is truth. Of course, I've mentioned the second one, and that is love. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. It talks about the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. And then notice in verse 3, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. You see, the letter by itself kills. But when you put love in with the truth, my, that is a winning combination. Amen? And so John is emphasizing that for us today. Oh, there's some people, boy, they're right in what they say, but how they say it just really tears you up. Amen? And so when you find someone who will present the truth, and you know that they love you and they care for you, boy, you can take it, can't you? But if you don't think someone cares for you, boy, they can say whatever they want to say and it can be right down the line and it can be right, but boy, it hurts and it makes you mad, right? Amen. And so John is emphasizing the perfect combination here. This key word, look at verse 5, love. It says, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And then in verse 6, and this is love. Notice we looked at that in 1 John. I mean, I like it so much when people are saying, what is love? What is love? What is love? And they have this example, and they have that example, and they have this definition and that definition, and they give you this illustration, and you say, well, what is love? What is meant by this is love? That we walk after His commandments. Don't tell me that you love God when you don't obey His Word. Don't tell me that you just love Him with all your heart. Oh man, I love Jesus with all my mind, soul, and body, and yet you're disobedient to what He's laid out. You don't love God. You don't love Jesus. You don't love His Word. You say, boy, you shouldn't judge me like that. I don't. I'm just telling you what the book says. And this is the truth. Oh, I don't like what you have to do. I'm never coming back here again. Folks, I want you to come back here again. But by the same token, this is the truth. And it says right here in plain English, amen, this is love, that we walk after His commandments. Amen? Sort of, that's where the rubber meets the road. So in other words, if I say that I love Jesus, I'm going to obey Jesus. And if I don't obey Jesus, I don't love Him. That makes it cut and dry, doesn't it? Amen? Pretty sobering, isn't it? And that leads us really to our third key word. And you look here in verse 4, commandment is mentioned. As though I wrote a new commandment. And then in verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after His commandment. And this is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Notice, it's not talking about talking it. It's not talking about memorizing it. It's talking about walking in it. In other words, not just to be a hearer of the word, but a doer also. Amen? That's putting the feet and the hands to work. Amen? Are you with me this morning? It's mighty quiet in here for some reason. I think we just had holidays or something. Okay, the commandment. Here's verse 6 again. The commandment. The commandment. And then verse 5, the commandment. We find it over and over and over again. The commandment is mentioned. I want us to see three truths from these 13 verses, and then we're done, all right? Now, of course, I could really spend a lot of time pulling out and branching out in the doctrinal implications of this. We'll touch on them. Number one, according to verse 4, we are to walk in truth. We're to walk in truth. In other words, dear Christian, your life and my life is to be based on the Word of God. I know we mention that a lot around here. We lift up the Bible a lot around here. And well, we should. Because this, as we say, is our rule for faith and practice. We don't just say, hey, this is what we believe. No, we also say this is how we live if we believe. Amen? And so we're to walk in truth. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that the Bible is our more sure word of prophecy. I'm not going to read that passage, but it goes. It essentially says that Peter says, hey, I was on the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw Jesus Christ transfigured before me. I saw the glory of God. Peter said, I saw it with my own eyes. But Peter said, I have a more sure word of prophecy. Why? Because you know, sometimes you see something today, 10 years from now, you won't remember all the details of this day as back, you know, in the future as you do right now. It will diminish with time. There have been things where I've experienced and I said, boy, I'm never going to forget it. And then we'll be sitting around and we'll be talking about that event and I've forgotten that and I've forgotten this and I've forgotten that and I've forgotten this. And Peter said, I have a more sure word of prophecy than an eyewitness account where I saw the glory of God, and it's found right here in the blessed Word of God. Walk in truth. Walk in truth. How do you know you're pleasing to God? Walk in truth. This is what the Bible says. Oh, should I go to this place? Should I take part in this activity? What does the Bible say? Should I go there? Should I do this? Should I talk this way? Should I see this? Should I hear these things? Should I go here? Hey, my friend, what does the Bible say? Walk in truth. Then you're safe. Then you can feel with a complete assurance that you'll receive a full reward. You've lived your life according to the blessed book. Amen? You say, but hey, I can't be perfect. Show me one Bible character that was perfect. They weren't. But I tell you what, David, after he served a generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. He went to his reward. Amen. That was a good verse of Scripture for David, and yet we could go back and we could pick David's life apart, and we could find out his foibles, his problems, his sin, his shortcomings, just like people could us. Amen. But praise the Lord, he served his generation by the will of God. You can be imperfect and still be used by God. Amen? You can sin and repent of that sin and get right with God, and God use you, and you can go to heaven and receive a full reward. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Isn't that good?
Walk in the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, that famous verse of Scripture that we use for the inspiration of the Scriptures. It tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. As God breathes, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen? Everything you and I need to answer to God for is right here. And if we walk in truth, if we live according to this book, we can with full assurance meet death in the face. We can with full assurance meet our Savior at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? And hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful." But Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Every single one that's ever walked the face of God's earth has sinned, save one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him, but he was a sinner. He trusted in the Savior like you and me. Amen? Folks, you can do right. And you can know you're doing right if you live according to the book. But you say, well, you know, life is so busy. Study. How much time do you spend in the book? You say, well, you know, I haven't been reading my Bible like I should. I haven't been living like I should. Hey, folks, we're saying goodbye to 2002. And if the Lord tarries his coming just for a few days, we're going to embark on 2000. That's a fresh start. You can leave here saying, hey, you know what? I have been neglectful of knowing what the truth is for my life. I've been neglecting the Word of God, but I see not only is Jesus the truth, but His Word is the truth, and I'm going to spend time finding out what the truth is. You can start that today. Amen? You can walk in truth. Oh, how do you know you're saved or not? 1 John chapter 5, I quoted that verse of Scripture, verse 13. You can know you're saved. How do you know it? Because you feel it? Many of us will say there are some days we just don't feel saved. We just don't feel like a good Christian. Right? It doesn't change the facts. Amen? Well, how do you know that? Right here. Amen? Right here. And if you can hang on to the truth of this book in regards to your eternal destination, you can hang on to the truths of this book in regards to your daily life. Amen? You can walk in truth. His Word is truth. For the truth's sake. For the truth's sake. And notice how John is telling this lady and her children, for the truth, 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 for the truth's sake. Amen? Then we find here that not only are we to walk in truth, we're to walk in love. Look at verse 5. And now I beseech thee, he says, I beg you, lady. I beg you, church. I beg your family. He says, lady, not as though I wrote a new command. He said, I'm not telling you something you don't know. I'm not telling you something that is just relegated to a select few. He says, but that which we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. The Lord Jesus brought it all down to two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and your neighbor as yourself. Galatians chapter 6 tells us that we're to do good to all men, but especially to those who are the household of faith. Amen? Hey, do you love one another? Do you love one another? Do you love one another? You're to walk in love. That's not just saying, I love you. That's showing that you love them, right? Amen? And if you're going to say, hey, I love God, then obey God. Amen? How does a child express or show their love to their parents, but by their obedience? Amen? Praise the Lord. That's the way it works. That's the Bible way. Amen? Child, don't tell me you love me and then disobey me. And that's what God says. If we think that way towards our earthly children, how about our Heavenly Father? We say, God, I love you. Well, why don't you obey me? Why don't you do the things I say? I have established these things not for my benefit only, but for yours. The commands, the do's and don'ts of Scripture are not there for God's benefit. He's perfect. He's holy. He's just. He needs no rules. Amen? The Spirit needs no rules or boxes, boundaries. Against such there is no law. Amen? We do. And He lays them out because of our flesh, because of our sin nature. He lays that out for us and He says, hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. He gives us a yardstick. We say, do I love enough? Am I pleasing enough? Boy, you know, there's no satisfaction unless we have some clear-cut guidelines for us, right? Hey, He says, hey, look, you get into the pages of this book. You live it. And I'll be happy with you. And you say, but I don't always live it. Get down on your knees. Ask God to give you strength. Ask Him to forgive you where you failed Him, where you've sinned. Get back up clean and go at it again. Amen? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hey, walk in truth. Thy word is truth. Walk in love. Not a selfish love, but a sacrificing love. A love for others. That ye love one another. Amen? And then thirdly, we're to walk carefully. We're to walk carefully. Now this is interesting to me. Because you see, when you think of love today in today's society, and even, sad to say, in the church, people think of it more of a sentimental kind of thing. Oh, he loves me because he told me so. He loves me because he hugged me. He loves me because of this. That's not proper love. That's not proper love. Because you see, the Bible says that there are deceivers that come into the body. There are deceivers that also are active in the world. And we need to be careful about those. So we need to walk carefully. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, for many deceivers are entered into the world. A deceiver is one that doesn't come exposing himself for what he is. They come with a mask on. They come with a different garb on, if you please. They don't look what they really are. As the Bible says in the book of Matthew, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. You have to be careful. They're deceivers. They say one thing, but they mean another. They're always laying a trap. There's always something back behind what they have to say. Praise God for the truth. It's so refreshing when you meet someone who deals in truth. Amen? So, I mean, when their yea is yea and their nay is nay. Isn't that good? You with me? But we see that these deceivers, John says, look, they're not coming. They're already in the world. See what he says there? He says, for many deceivers are entered into the world. They're already here, folks. Don't look around and say, hey, one day they're coming. They're here now. They're already working now. And they say, the Bible here says, they are antichrists. They are against Christ. They're not for Him. No matter how they sing, no matter how they look, no matter what. A deceiver is a deceiver. They're already at work. Now notice, and it's something that here we have just celebrated, the incarnation. That is God becoming flesh. Look what it says here in verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. That's interesting, isn't it? Isn't that something? Right there. They deny that God became a man. Those who reject Jesus as the Messiah, they think, hey, there's some folks who believe that Jesus is just a good prophet. My friend, Jesus is God. And any belief system and anyone who holds to that belief system is an antichrist. Whew. Show me the love in that. The love is, He told us. Don't tell me you love me and then watch me get hurt. When you could have stepped in and intervened and you didn't, don't tell me you love me. God said, I'm telling you some stuff right now. John's saying, lady, be careful. There's deceivers out there already. And it seems to indicate that there wasn't a man here in the home. And so evidently this may have been a widow woman with her children trying to rear them. And she was especially susceptible to a deceiver that would come in and wreak havoc in her life. And so John's saying, look out. Watch out. Be careful. There's deceivers out there. They're antichrists. Anyone that comes to you and says, hey, I don't believe that Jesus is God. I don't believe that they're one and the same. You notice in the prayer in John chapter 70, I and my Father are one. Amen. John chapter 10, the great assurance passage. I and my Father are one. I mean, you can't get any plainer than that. God and Jesus are the same. Amen. And then we find in John chapter 14, 15, and 16 about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hey, he says, I'm going to send a comforter. And then he says, I will come to you. In other words, Jesus is the comforter. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. I don't understand that, preacher. I don't either. But you know what? It's the truth. And whether I understand it, whether I can explain it, no matter what, it's the truth. And so I don't need to understand it. I just need to line my life up accordingly. Right? It's true. So I can sing a song and say, I've got Jesus in my heart. Oh, you don't really have Jesus in your heart. Hey, I beg to differ with you. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, the Holy Spirit came in. Amen? Jesus is God. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. This is three in one. Amen? I mean, what illustration can you use? Water, vapor, liquid, you know, the mass, the ice. I mean, the egg, the yolk, the white, the shell. They all fall short. They all fall short. How can you explain God? I don't need to explain God. I just need to believe what God has said. Amen? And what this book tells me is all I need to know. I don't need to know the space between the lines. Amen? I don't have to answer all the questions. Everything that I need to know, He's told me right here. And I simply need to study to show myself approved unto you? No, unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth. The word of truth. The word of truth. You're going to get sick of me saying that. The word of truth. His word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. He's the truth. You cannot neglect your Bible and say that you love Jesus. You can't separate Jesus from His word. Amen? His word and Himself. The word made flesh. If someone comes in to our midst, to your house, to your person, to this church, and says that they don't believe that Jesus has come in the flesh, they are a deceiver and an antichrist. Just mark it down. Now, notice here, it says in verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever, verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. They can say they're saved. They can pray. They can read Scripture. They can do all those things. But if they don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, the death, burial, resurrection, the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, then they are an antichrist. They are not saved. They are lost. They are lost. They are lost. They do not abide. Amen? Amen. Pretty strong. You and I, theoretically, I've not told you anything you don't already know. We've mentioned this in 1 John, but what I like so much, here, John then says, which is obvious, how do we treat somebody like that? Right? How do you treat them? If I'm to love everybody, how am I to treat those who don't believe that Jesus is God? It tells us. It doesn't say, I think I'll run to the preacher and see what his opinion is. Maybe I'll go see this counselor. Maybe I'll go see this. Doesn't do that, does he? Look at verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. Amen? He says, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. He says in verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Very serious. He says, dear Christian, you who go through so much, I mean the stand you've taken since you've trusted Christ and followed Him in believer's baptism, you're bearing the reproach of Christ. You believe in His coming in the virgin birth. You believe that He shed His blood for you on the cross. He died for you. He was raised from the dead for you. He lives for you now. You've been going through that reproach. I want you to receive a full reward. So don't get caught up in this ooey-gooey worldly sentimentality. Love a biblical love. Love a love of truth. And when you have someone who denies the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't even have them in your house. When the JWs come and knock on my door, we don't invite them in. And sad to say, we get flack from going door to door, inviting people to come to church and to tell people how they can be sure of heaven. And you know what? On Christmas Eve morning, a Jehovah's Witness pulled in my driveway out there 7 miles north of Morton and gave us books on how we could go to heaven. It's heresy. They're a cult. Heresy. Got my dander up. You're going to invite them in and say, well, let's have some tea. And I know people say, well, I'll just invite them in and I'll share with them the truth. I'll give them Scripture. I'll ask them all these questions. What does the Bible say? Well, maybe I can reach them. What does the Bible say? But they're such nice people. What does the Bible say? Let's set nice aside and let's love like God loves. You can't love any better than God loves. Amen? I mean, that goes without saying, but I need to say it. You know what I mean? I mean, we can't love any purer than the way God loves. And God said, don't receive them into your house. And don't even say, have a good day. Whew. Neither bid in Godspeed. In other words, that back in those days, when you left somebody's presence, you say, God be with you. That's how people would part. God be with you. And when someone who denies the virgin birth of Jesus Christ denies salvation by grace through faith, you don't tell them to have a good day. John the Baptist came and he preached. What did he preach? Repent! Jesus said, repent! Those who are not saved and those who are purveyors of false doctrine, those who are the deceivers, those who are the Antichrist that are even now at work in the present tense, don't tell them to have a good day. They need to repent. They need to get saved. Well, you'll never reach them that way. Folks, here is John saying, look to yourselves. Look to yourselves. You can't help somebody else if you are in the same boat. You can't help somebody else if you are entangled in bondage. If you're drowning in the sea, you can't help the person next to you drowning in the sea. And so that's why John says, before you help someone else, make sure that you are settled, and here's how to keep settled. Don't give your ear to false doctrine. Don't say, well, you know, I got to learn what it's all about so that I know how to answer them. You just get in the truth. Deal with the truth and all error will be exposed. Amen? Amen. I mean, there's no end to counterfeits. You look at the money. There's no end to counterfeiting money. I mean, there's so many ways to do it. You can't guard yourself except by knowing what the truth is. Amen? Go with the truth. That's what John is saying here. So how are you to treat them? Don't fellowship with them. Don't wish them a good day. You know what the Bible says? When you do that, you say, I'm just being nice. You know what he says? You become partaker of their evil deeds. Their destructive heresies. And if people embrace their false belief system, they will die in their sin and go to hell. And we don't want them to go there. So you don't tell purveyor who believes you can get saved by baptism. You don't tell purveyor who says you can get saved by speaking in tongues. You don't tell somebody who says, hey, Jesus is not God. You don't say, hey, have a great day. God be with you. Lord bless you. You don't do that. You say, that's mean. No, that's not mean. That's living according to the truth. But it seems so mean. That's why you can't go by your feelings. We have been so conditioned to this worldly, ooey-gooey fuzziness that that's what we think love is all about. And that's why you have couples come into your office and say, I don't love him anymore. I don't love her anymore. I fell in love with this one. I love them now. I don't love him now. Right? Truth. Walk in truth. Walk in love. Walk carefully. Walk carefully. Amen? Be careful yourself. Look at verse 8. Look to yourselves. In other words, pay special attention to this, people. Be careful what tape you pop in. Be careful what CD you listen to. Be careful what program you... Miracle Channel and all this other kind of stuff. Be careful. Look to yourselves. Don't you get confused about what the truth is. Because then you can't help somebody else. This is why I say, you know it to be true. How many of you who doubted your salvation could ever give someone else the assurance of their salvation? Can't do it. How many of you who doubted whether you were saved could really be effective in leading other people to Jesus? You can't do it. That's like a guy who's sold on Fords trying to sell Chevys. You can't do it. You won't be good at it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Powerful little book, isn't it? Look to yourselves. Look to yourselves. Why? Because we are going to be rewarded. Hey, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says that we will be rewarded for the things done in our body. Every man's work shall be tried. I want to receive a full reward. But I will not receive a full reward unless I walk in truth. Unless I walk in love. Unless I walk carefully. Amen? That's not swallowing everything hook, line, and sinker. Man, I like that guy's accent. I like his style of delivery. Boy, he just has a way of putting things. Folks, that's not necessarily the truth. The devil, at the end time, you know how he's going to win the world? The book of Revelation says he's going to call down, the Antichrist is going to call down fire from heaven. And you know what? Fire's going to fall. He's going to do lying signs and wonders. Well, you know, they've got to be of God. Look at the miracles they're performing. Those are nice people, folks. Does it match up with the book? If it doesn't match up with the book, don't go that way. Don't go that way. The devil is going to deceive, even if it were possible, the very elect. Thessalonians tells us. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Wow. See how important the truth is? The beloved disciple, the one who was closest to the Lord, the one who Jesus, as He hung on the cross, said, John, behold your mother. Mom, behold your son. I mean, this was a man who knew how to love. And he comes to this lady who, she was a widow in that day. Many times people took advantage of him. And he's saying, look, I want you to walk in truth. I want you to walk in love. But I want you to walk carefully. If someone tries to come into your house and they're not preaching right, they're not teaching right, don't you let them in. Don't you put them up. Don't you be given the hospitality to them. Don't you do it. Otherwise, you become a partner with them. Just as we are partners with our missionaries as they're giving the gospel out in their respective areas. When you and I give credence to false teachers, to deceivers and antichrists that are presently working in the world today, we are partnering with them in their destructive and damnable heresies that they're sending out. Very serious business. You will be rewarded for the things done in your body, whether they're good or whether they're bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. Very serious business. We will see Jesus at the judgment seat. Walk carefully. Walk carefully. I don't know about you, but I want to receive a full reward. Amen? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. What a powerful 13 verses. I ask you today, Christian, how are you walking with the truth? Are you walking in the truth? Say, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. You know, someone has said, what you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. I believe it was D.L. Moody who said, this book, speaking of the Bible, will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. I ask you, believer in Jesus Christ, those of us who sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, those who sing about a shelter in a time of storm, those of us who sing the songs of our great salvation, are you walking in truth? What are you doing with the Bible? Not only are you reading it, are you living it? Say, Pastor, I don't know. Well, maybe you need to get into it. Oh, maybe you say, I don't know everything I'm supposed to be doing. What do you know that you ought to be doing that you're not doing? What are you doing that you shouldn't be doing? Start there.